Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
I thought I talked to Chris about the whole Boogie Nights thing. It just doesn't really work for me. Good job, Emily, on finding all the cuts. Good job, Taylor. We're getting a lot of response, Al, to the money that was thrown out onto the freeway. You ready for some of these?
Sure. What do you got?
This is from James, who writes, picturing you getting home with that pile of money, cracking a beer, and burning the marked bills like that scene in The Town. Can you tell? I mean, they have like a mark on them. I wouldn't know which bills are marked and which ones are unmarked. Would you?
I could see you instantly going to a bank and just trying to like change. Hey, can I get these 20s into 5 and 10s? You know, just, and you're sweating profusely and people are like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? He's got 80 bucks. Why is he acting like this?
You know, I'd do it for 16.
Guy doesn't even have $100.
David Rodriguez writes, I'm picking up all the 20s and giving back all the ones if I'm caught on video. That's the best answer of all, right? Grab that everything is. You can. Like, hey, that's our money. Oh, here you go. Here's the $11 that I collected while you put a couple of grand in your back pocket.
And oh, by the way, cars were on the freeway still driving and they were going 65 miles an hour.
No, it seems there's risk involved.
There's definitely risk.
For sure. I don't like that me on an air mattress has become a thing on Twitter. That seems like it's borderline bullying. This is from Francis in Glendale, says Trav's air mattress is a bounce house. That's pretty funny and also very, very mean. I don't know
it's
how I feel
blown
about
up
it.
In the living room.
No, they make me sleep in the yard. I'm out there. And by the way, if we're going to do that, can I at least get the one with the slide that goes down into the bounce house? That sounds like fun.
Extra money.
And then Darb in the OC, can you imagine the stress an air mattress would feel when they saw Trav sliding into the tent ready for bed? I don't know if air mattresses have emotions there, Darb. I don't think that's how that would work.
They just won't sell it to you. It's at Walmart.
I'm sorry.
Like, no,
sir,
we appreciate it. Yeah.
Do you see this PSI rating on the side of the box? I'm afraid that you've exceeded maximum capacity. Yeah, it's not going to work.
Actually, with this comes duct tape and a couple more pumps.
Okay, so here's a question.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten a good night's sleep on an air mattress? Ever?
No.
No.
No, like, you can't.
Why do we have those? Because the ground, you're going to get a bad night's sleep on the ground, too. I'm not. Don't get me wrong.
Well, I'd rather have an air mattress.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, every time you roll over, it goes. It's got that squeaky sound. You can feel the air moving around. It's awful.
Yeah, the ground is not exactly the best. By the way, the camping thing is a perfect example. You know, if you go camping. And I don't take an air mattress. I know some people will take that. But you take like one of those little mats, just something to give
like
you.
Like a yoga mat?
No, something a little thicker. So it's just kind of like a sleeping pad
a
or whatever
Travis
it is.
Yoga mat? Like a wrestling mat?
I could see
mat?
You out there. I could see you out there doing yoga. But Trav, I've also gone camping where I don't have any of that. And there's like literally a rock just in my hip at 2 a.m. It's like, no, this is great. This was an awesome idea. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do? Tell everybody else in the tent, hey, guys, we got to shift the tent around at 2 a.m.
Well, you've just
in my thigh.
You've made a very compelling case for why I never go camping. Yeah, no, just add it to the list of why I do not ever, ever want to do that. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. All right, so Clippers Lakers tomorrow on local television, not on ESPN.
They've kicked off of ESPN.
They've been flexed out of ESPN. Warriors Suns will get that spot, and it's hard to argue that that's the wrong decision.
It's the right move to do. I mean, just very simply put, it is the right move to do. You even mentioned this. I think I even heard Mason talking about it as well. You're kind of like switching back from both of those games.
Yeah.
When both those games were going on Tuesday night. Of course you would. Why wouldn't you?
When I say I was switching back and forth, it wasn't as much switching back and forth for equal time with both.
Okay.
It was,
right.
I'm going to watch the Suns and Warriors, and I'm going to drop in on the Lakers occasionally, so
there's
I'm
no
prepared
need to
for
take
the show
those,
tomorrow.
Those are unnecessary shots. Those were unnecessary.
Say anything about you. You do know you're not on the team, right?
I mean, to talk and to disrespect my family like that is unbelievable.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. All right. Take Friday's game and put it aside for a second.
Yep.
What happens maybe the rest of this season? This season's a little weird because Kawhi might be back by the time that they get to the playoffs.
I think they said earliest would be April, but yeah. Would you be surprised that they just play it safe and say, no, let's get out of the mix here?
It's probably the smart thing to do. Mm-hmm. But what about moving forward? The Clippers are getting ready to move into a new building, you know, not next year, but in the not-too-distant future. They have Kawhi Leonard. They have Paul George. The Lakers have Anthony Davis. They're the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them seem to have a whole bunch of draft picks coming up in the next few years to try to rebuild that way. Who's in a better position? Moving into, you know, the 2022 season, 23, 24, would you rather have the Laker roster or would you rather have the Clipper roster?
Well, I think the game plan for both of these franchises are completely different. And I'm not talking about from – let's put the Lakers brand to the side for a quick second. The Lakers game plan today is very simple. It's, okay, how many more years can we compete with LeBron James? Is it just this year? Is there still an opportunity next season as well? Obviously, they've kind of built this out for a two-year window this season, and then go try to take another swing at the fences next season as well. And we'll see how this year ends up. I mean, I would tell you that between now and the trade deadline, I don't think there's any guarantees of what happens with this Lakers roster. I think it's very clear that whatever we have to do to give LBJ another chance and the Lakers organization another chance to go get championship number 18, they're going to do it. I mean, they made a trade this summer that someone like yourself, you're like, what the hell? They went out and got Russell Westbrook. Why would they do that? Well, they're doing it because they are thinking in their minds, we just got to keep swinging for the fence, keep swinging for the fences, and hopefully we can connect on one. And if we do, it is house money because they already got championship number 17 with Bron. But that's, Trav, that's the Lakers' game plan. There is no, yes, Anthony Davis is locked up long term, but it's safe to say you and I are not comfortable thinking that, oh, well, you have Anthony Davis, you're good to go. If you have Anthony Davis, you're no problem from there moving forward. No, AD is going to need a ton of help if you know, obviously he becomes a franchise player.
Can I make a difference point right there? I don't want to lose the thought. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need help. He's going to be the help to whoever comes. That's a very different role, right? That right now LeBron James is the guy and AD is there to help LeBron win championships. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that role gets flipped, right, where AD is the dude and you got to bring in guys to help him get over the hump. I think he's the ultimate guy that pushes you over the top.
Okay, but put it this way. You cannot have somebody below AD on this team if you're trying to win a championship. So what I mean by that is...
Right, they were saying the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. What I'm saying is, when you say to help Anthony Davis, the comp has to be nobody can be worse than Anthony Davis if you're going to go out there and go try to win a championship. If I use the name, can Damian Lillard and Anthony Davis and then a really good core after that of veterans and this and that go make a run at a championship? Yeah, I think so. I think that could, you know, potentially happen. But it can't be Anthony Davis and it's
CJ McCollum.
Right. That's a perfect way to put it. That's not going to happen. But that's the Lakers' window today. The Clippers, it's a much different game plan. I think the foundation that you see with them today that they have, which is kind of similar to the foundation that they had last year, and really what I'm talking about is Kawhi and Paul George and then however they figure out the rest of the pieces, that's who they're running with for the next few years. You know, Paul George is locked up. He signed his contract is for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard's 4 years, and I think there's a player option in Kawhi's contract the final year, and then they're going to move into the new stadium, everything else. The one name that you didn't mention with the Clippers, and this is a stark difference between the two franchises of how they're approaching the present and the future, I think what you see with the Clippers today is not that different than what you're going to see over the next few years. They're going to keep kind of trying to build on what they have, built on the continuity, build on the chemistry, and your foundation is going to be Kawhi and Paul George. Name we haven't mentioned is Steve Ballmer. Ballmer is, that's the wild card in this whole mix. The wild card is he's somebody that has the resources, the money, whatever the hell it needs to take. Oh, I'm having issues with trying to build my own arena. Okay, why don't I just buy the Forum? Here's $400 million. Let's put that to the side. And now I'll go build my own arena or my own stadium. Mm-hmm. I think the direction that both of these franchises are going in, the approach that they're taking is so much different, and the Lakers will depend more on star power and the brand and everything else, and that, by the way, has been incredibly successful for them to depend on.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. That there's two different things here. There's the Clipper way, which is, okay, we got two guys that are really, really good in Kawhi and Paul George, and we're going to use those guys to build our team, and we'll see where it goes. We're going to have a new building. We've got an owner that is, you know, he's dynamic. He's going to spend money. He's going to try to do everything he can to make it happen. That's the Clipper path, right? The Laker path, and you said this at the very beginning, that you wanted to put the Laker brand aside. I don't think you can. It's impossible to separate them from their brand. That arguably their greatest asset, it's not Magic Johnson or Kobe Bryant or Shaq or LeBron. It's that they're the Lakers, right? And that they get Shaq and they get LeBron and they get, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That they're able to go they get who's the best? Okay, we'll take him. They've made Anthony Davis. We'll take him. They've made it very clear that that's how they go about doing it, and why not? Because it's been successful to a tune better than everybody else. So basically what you're talking about is we have a core and an owner, the Clippers, and we fix this every once in a while because this is what we do. And if we get really lucky, we'll have a player like Kobe Bryant who's here for 15 or 20 years, and we can just have that guy here, and we can continue to change the pieces around him to make them a new team. But the Laker plan is, hey, we're the Lakers. We're always going to have great players. We're always going to have a ton of attention. We're always going to have pretty deep pockets. We can go do these things because we're the Lakers.
And I think the way the Clippers are approaching things, yeah, you kind of like their game plan too, right? Like what they've done. You know, I know we've made fun of it, and we've sat back and we said, oh, you know, here are the Clippers. They got to the Western Conference Finals, and that was a big deal for the Clippers. Hey, it's the reality. You know, it's not the Clippers. It's not Steve Ballmer's fault, or it's not the individual players' fault. It's not their fault that they have the history that they do. Mm-hmm. It's not their fault that the ownership before Steve Ballmer literally did not care about the success. It was actually more profitable to be less successful because teams that were making the playoffs had to pay into a pool or whatever it was. But I say that because they have the right approach, and the fact that now all of a sudden they're going to be in their own stadium and they'll obviously do things their own way. They don't have to have a 12:30 game the day after Thanksgiving because the Lakers have the evening games. They'll be able to do things their way. And I think that actually that approach is smart. And I think the approach that, you know, Steve Ballmer, the opportunity that he's given the Clippers, I don't agree that they should have stayed in the LA market. I don't think you agree that, you know, they were probably better off going to a city that actually embraced them. I don't think any of that's going to change. But it is interesting how these two franchises, you know, still have never faced each other in the playoffs. And but the Clippers, look, let me give credit where credit's due. Kawhi is not there, and that's why they're not going to be in the mix, you know, this season. They're going to be in the mix. They will be. You know, they'll be in the mix down the road. They'll be in the mix over the next couple of years. I don't think they're just going to go away or that these two teams won't eventually cross paths in the playoffs. They have a good future in front of them. And the Lakers, like you mentioned, small window right now, and then they'll plan after that once LeBron is done.
I want to try to lay this out there pretty quickly because I think you're right. But their success has to be their success. Right, that they have a lane in this city that has to be their own thing, right? The way that they go about marketing their team, the way that their game in-game experience is, because if you're trying to
still
get
looks JV,
on the,
by the way,
that's fine. But if you're trying to get to where the Lakers are, it's a losing proposition. It's a game you can't win. What you can win is we've got our thing over here. It has nothing to do with the Lakers. We're going to do it differently because this isn't a perfect analogy. And when I say house, I'm not talking about arena. I'm talking about city. You're living in your big brother's house. No matter how much success you have, your brother built the house. It's his house. Everybody that's here loves the big brother. You can have fans. You can do your thing. You could even win a championship or two, but you're living in your brother's house. And I get it that he's going to make more money in L.A., that the L.A. Clippers are more valuable than the Seattle Clippers or the Las Vegas Clippers or whatever they might be. But as long as you're here, you can only do so much because it's your brother's house. The Angels will never be the Dodgers. It will never, ever happen. The Clippers will never, ever be the Lakers. So you either have to decide. I'm just going to own this lane over here. This is my lane, and this is where I'm going to be. We're going to have our own building. We're going to have our own identity. And that has to be good enough. It's certainly lucrative enough. But this idea that they're competing with each other, they're just really not. Because the Clippers over the last 10 years, I know the Lakers had the championship, but the Clippers had more success over prior to the championship than the Lakers did, and it really didn't move the needle at all. And I know they didn't win, but it just, the die is cast. The cement is dry. We're not changing this. The Lakers are the Lakers, and you can go win and have Kawhi and Paul George and a cool new building and an owner who's brilliant and dynamic and unbelievably wealthy, and it's going to be met with, yeah, that's cool. It's just never going to be a thing here, and that's just the reality of it.
And as long as they accept it, and it sounds like they have accepted it,
yeah,
and Bomber's going to obviously try to do what he can and control what he can control, then it is what it is. The best, the one thing they could do, Trav, what they can control, is the product they put out on the
yep.
court, right? And that's the
and
only thing that they'll be able to control. And you know, obviously without Kawhi this year, that's going to be challenges. By the way, if you guys want to have a conversation on this, 877-710-ESPN, Lakers, Clippers, obviously playing tomorrow, and I'll say it for the 98th time this season, maybe the Lakers can build some momentum.
Well, maybe you can win tickets to see the Lakers and the Nets.
That's right.
Coming up later on the show today as well, so make sure you keep listening for your chance to win Lakers and Nets tickets. Sean McVay was talking yesterday, but there's also a little bit of a disturbing trend that's out there on the Rams that we'll give you next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
I think on Christmas Day against the Nets, which listeners have a chance to win tickets to coming up here on our show at some point today, mm-hmm. that you should do the pre and the post in a Santa hat. I think you'd look good. Just kind of festive. Be one of those people that, you know, gets into the spirit of the season. A little Santa hat, maybe some of those shoes with the bells on them with the little curly toe. I think you'd look
100%,
good.
100%. Don't think twice about it, Trav. Don't even. That's it.
It's okay. I'll have a good time. Lean into it a little bit.
Would you do that?
I'd wear the hat. I wouldn't wear the curly shoes. I've worn the hat. You should get one with a bell on the top.
I'm
so
all
people
over
know
it.
You're coming.
100%. 100%. As much attention as I could draw.
You seem Christmas reluctant. You seem spirit of the season reluctant. I'm getting
a vibe
from you.
No. Listen, I've told you. Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday. Christmas is a fantastic holiday, too. I'm in for the whole thing. Remember you and I were talking about setting up for right after Thanksgiving is when you start setting up. I'm all in for Christmas. I did not want Christmas music starting in October. I didn't want Christmas music on November 1st, but I'm good for Christmas.
All right. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Visit progressive.com. You said you wanted calls out. Let's do the call. Nick in Los Angeles. Nick, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Nick.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. First of all, I want to say, you know, you guys are the most, truly the most authentic show since we're going way back to Dr. Corin and Joe McDonald, rest his soul, Big Joe. You guys are the best. You guys are authentic. You're real. And you guys have to talk about sports, which I love.
Thanks.
I got to get into this Clipper-Laker issue. First of all, I'm an Angelino. I'm not a transplant, all right? Born and raised here. I'm 48 years old. And first of all, Steve Ballmer, man, that dude disgusts me. I'm sorry. I got to tell you why. All right, I grew up in a rural area. Let's put it that way. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, when I drove by through Southgate last year, going to work, all right, and see these ridiculous signs on the side of the 710 freeway that say street lights are over spotlights, I wanted to throw up, man. That's such an unnecessary and low and down dirty and ridiculous, laughable attack at the Lakers, as if to say that the Lakers don't have any fans in the streets. It's ridiculous. So the Clippers, first of all, have been trying to build their brand at the expense of the Lakers. Talking about the Lakers, the players, Steve Ballmer, talking about the Lakers. We've kicked the Lakers, you know what, time and time again, he said, more than once, all right? He's got to get this guy out of town, man. I just don't understand it. I mean, it's really, you know, as an Angelino, you know, it's just not right. It doesn't sit with me very well. And you know, let me say this. I'm a diehard Dodger fan.
Me right? too.
Born and raised Dodger fan. I don't feel that way about the Angels. I watched an Angel World Series game. So one of my best friends is an Angel fan. And I cheered for him. Because they never did that baloney to let's hit the Dodgers.
Well, I think there's a couple angles on this. I appreciate you calling into the show. Okay, so Trav, I get it. You know, I think, you know, when they say that,
is Nick okay?
Really
he sounded like he was out of breath. Like he was on
out
a treadmill
breath.
While he was talking to us. Nick, take it easy.
He was fired up. Guys up about the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when Kawhi chose the Clippers over the Lakers?
Sure.
And then all of a sudden you had
Paul
those
George
new
too, in a sense.
You're right. Yeah. You're right about that. There were a couple different times where Paul George could have came to the Lakers and mm-hmm. he didn't. He chose the Clippers. And there were those New Balance ads, and
yep.
you know they're showing Kawhi almost as like, okay, hey, I'm the next guy in LA, I'm the king, blah blah blah. It wouldn't be my style. You know, the last thing I would try to do, I think Ballmer said some interesting things when he was announcing Intuit Dome. Hey, this is going to be the stadium that we're building. He said some things about the Lakers. Remember Ty Lue last year in the playoffs saying, "You're LA, so if you're a Laker fan." And the Lakers are out, you should just cheer for the Clippers. Like, yep. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, that didn't go over well.
All that, I would say that's not my style. And you mentioned something a lot earlier. You talked about how the Clippers just, there's nothing they can do to where they're in the conversation with the Lakers in LA. There just isn't. So the only thing you should pay attention to is, can we just beat that squad?
Mm-hmm.
Can we go up against them in the playoffs? Or can we win a championship or get to the NBA Finals? And it has nothing to do with the Lakers. And, you know, the Lakers are going to be the Lakers. And that's a brand that wasn't built yesterday. It's a brand that's had success for 50, 60 years. It didn't start overnight. But I think the piece of, well, I don't hate the Angels that way and everything else, it is different. Both teams are in the Western Conference. I know the divisions don't really matter in the NBA.
But they play each other constantly. It's different.
Play each other constantly. It is completely different when it comes to that. I don't know if the, you know, the Rams and the Chargers, I know this is so new, so it's an awful example.
It's not.
There's nothing there. But if you said the Raiders and the Chargers,
yeah
it's going to be a different conversation.
Hey, look,
because they're
let's
both
be
in
honest.
The same division.
Let's be honest. There's a Raider-Ram thing. There just is. Everybody knows this. The Raiders are still remarkably popular here in Los Angeles.
No question about it.
Incredibly popular. Mm-hmm. So the Rams, you know, are also incredibly popular here in Los Angeles. So there is this push and pull between the two of them to compete for eyes, to compete for fans, to compete for loyalties. And, you know, usually once the die is cast, that's it. But and that's part of the problem with the Lakers and the Clippers, too. The Clippers aren't flipping any Laker fans. You don't flip fans. People don't go back and forth. It doesn't work like that.
I thought it was the funniest thing when Ty Lue last year. I'm like, Ty Lue, you were a Laker. What are you talking about? What's the point you're
trying
to make?
That was the Coke executive that Laker went to work for Pepsi and said, "Hey, look, you know, Pepsi.
We all like soda.
Yeah,
I mean, we all like soda, right?
No. We know what this is about. That's not how this works.
Can I say one thing about tomorrow's game? Other than it's the most important game of both of our lives, I think that tomorrow's game, Trav. In any sport, by the way. I'm not talking just NBA. Tomorrow is the greatest event in sports history.
It's going to determine the direction of humanity from this point forward.
Could determine the next president. Okay, so that game tomorrow, there are some similarities. You know, Kawhi's out, LeBron's out, at least assuming LeBron's going to be out. That both of these teams, it's actually kind of an even matchup. And you know, you've sat on this, and sometimes I think it frustrates you when you hear Anthony Davis say, "Hey, you know what, I got to put more on my back. I got to be more of a leader. I'm going to be more of a vocal leader," all that stuff. It's one of those games where I'm actually really looking forward to it. There's certain games you're doing at Staples Center, you're doing pre-post. It's like, oh, got the Kings again? The heck am I going to talk about? You know, like, it just depends on what the matchup is. I'm a fan when these two franchises play against each other. I'm a bigger fan when it's a Clipper home game because I just like seeing all the Laker jerseys.
That's always fun. Who doesn't like seeing your favorite team's jersey in the other guy's ballpark? That's always a good time. All right, Factor Cap is coming up next. Here's one of the questions, Al. If your friends break up, do you have to pick a side? That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, Who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Still looking for that box? You just got to ask. They'll give you one.
Hey, oh, you feel like you want boxes? To. No, here's what happens, because there's other times where they're out of boxes. You know, they'll look under they'll look under their register. They'll look under the other one and bring your own box.
Yeah, hey, I brought these apple crates in from my house. I was just wondering if you could load up my shampoo and frozen pizzas in here.
How much can we put into this flat screen box? Stuff some chicken in a flat screen box.
Why not? Why not? You know what we get to do right now, Al? We get to do a little factor cap.
Let's do it.
That's cap.
That's fact. It's a fact.
All right, guys. Up first, you actually take recommendations from people when thinking about a new movie to watch or a new book to start. Alan, is this fact or cap?
I wish I did that more. I'm going to say cap, unless somebody, you know, really sells me on it. If somebody said, oh, man, you got to go watch this movie. You know, let me give you an example. I told there's a guy we used to work with. I don't think I've worked with him for probably about 7-8 years now. His name's Michael Funches. I don't know if you guys remember Funches.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him either. Okay, so I went out of my way, as you guys did, to say, hey, no, The Godfather is a really, really good movie. You should watch it. Like, you should go out of your way and go watch it. And it was like pulling teeth. If somebody goes out of their way to really convince me, hey, you really have to go see this. You got to go to this restaurant. You got to do this. Then there's a good chance I'm going to go. But I need a little juice to it. Like, it can't be just a casual, hey, I read this book. This book wasn't bad. You should try it one of these days, too. That's not going to sell me. Okay. You know, you got to kind of sell me a little bit on it.
It's fact, but I kind of am almost the exact opposite here. It's two things. Number one, if it's somebody that I've talked to a lot and we share a similar taste, for instance, okay, and I'll use this as an example, Chris and I have very similar tastes in television, okay? Like, we both love The West Wing. We both love Sopranos. So if Chris says to me, hey, Trav, I think you'd like this, I'm going to watch
it. Days of Our
it.
Lives.
Yeah, for sure. That's there at the top of the list.
Yep.
But if it's somebody that maybe I don't know, like maybe you like things very differently than me. Maybe you are really into something that I'm not into or vice versa. And you say, hey, you know what you might like? This? I might give it a shot. But if you do what you said, dude, you've got to see this. This is one of the all-time greatest blankety blanks.
I'm in.
I will go out of my way to never see it. This is a Game of Thrones thing. I don't like that genre. And then the more people, oh, don't, Trav, it's different. It's not about that. You love it. There is a 0% chance I will ever watch that. Because I don't want, you don't get to tell me what to do. It's as simple as that.
Unbelievable. You set that up where somebody is so passionate about telling you, hey, you got to go to this restaurant. This is an amazing restaurant. I think you're going to like it. No. Oh, there's A, B, C, and D. And another person tells you that convinces you even more to not go. What the hell are we doing here?
No, I'm out.
I feel like, also, if someone tells me, do not watch this, that is more of a thing.
For sure.
Too.
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, so the same thing. Like, if you said, you know what's terrible? Like, if everyone had come to me and said, you know what's terrible? Squid Game. And I said, well, let me check that out for myself. But it was such a, oh, it's awesome. And I tried it, and it was okay. And then I tapped out, and then I went back in, watched a couple more, and I've never gone back.
The most important game of our life is tomorrow. Lakers and the Clippers. Don't miss that tomorrow.
Exactly.
Don't miss that tomorrow.
Exactly.
All right. If you have a subscription, you never cancel it because it's more of a hassle to cancel it than to keep paying. Travis, is this fact or cap?
I think it's a fact because I get those notifications, in particular from Apple, right? You'll get the email that says, oh, your blankety blank has been renewed for 99 cents this month. And you just, I don't even know what it's for. They just ding me for a dollar here. They ding me for, you know, $2.99 there. I have no idea. I don't even open them. It has to hit a certain point where, like, if it says it's $6, like, wait, what did I just buy for $6? I don't even know what it is. And then I got to call somebody sometimes. If it's not just the subscription button on your phone, you can turn it off. If I have to get on the phone with a human being or go find your website or something, that's a lot of work. You can just have my 99 cents a month.
We're doing it wrong. First of all, this is a cap. Trav, I'm gonna just help you out here real quick. If you go to your settings on your phone,
no,
you scroll
I know where
down,
the button is. That's a lot of work. It's
scroll
99
down a little
cents.
Bit. The subscriptions, mm-hmm. You can go see your subscriptions. You cancel any of them at any time. So you might know where it is. You might not know where it is. But man, did we do it wrong, Trav? The subscription business.
It's perfect.
Oh, once you get in,
yeah,
and I know, like you and I, you know, if we sit here and say, ah, it's only $4.99, oh, it's only $1.99, you know how many other people are saying that? So you're telling
everybody.
Me, you're telling me the other company or the other business, what was, I think there was a statistic here, Planet Fitness, mm-hmm. You know, the gym.
Well, that's every gym.
Yeah, but Planet Fitness specifically built the model of their business. I think it's like $10 a month or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's a really ridiculously low price. They built their business knowing that X percentage of people are never going to come. Like, those people are not going to come. So that you can just get $9.99 coming from all these individuals. And if 10%, 15%, there was a podcast on this on NPR. This was a couple years back. But it said that if 80% of the people came, well, there's no one. They can't. Like, they cannot.
They won't
but
fit.
Literally, you cannot find a way to get these people in, but they have built their business knowing that only a percentage are going to come and only a percentage are going to use it, and that's what the subscription business is.
That's why I'm sitting here on the radio talking like a
yeah,
you
I know
what.
Yep.
Also, subscribe to ESPN Plus.
I have that.
Everybody does.
No, I have all of those. There's not a streaming service that exists that I either haven't used okay. someone else's creds or have my own. Yeah.
Okay, I got two things with you. You know how you were going to get fired earlier because you went at Star Wars, one of Disney's biggest investments?
Uh-huh.
The show's over after this one, too, because we're both going after like separate entities of the company. The ESPN Plus thing, I have it, by the way. But can I tell you how bitter I was where I'm like, guys, it's me. Like, when I put in my, you know, my user and my password, I'm like, it says alan.blahblahblah@ESPN.com. Like, we're the same company. Why am I paying for this?
Fine. Give me your $5 a month. Welcome back.
Can I – exactly. That's what they're saying. Can you help me explain this one? Why does ESPN, when they send me, hey, a watch now, or hey, this game's about to start, or it's a college football game, why is it always in my junk mail? I'm like, guys, you run
you can,
the whole thing. You run the whole
you
operation.
Can fix that.
I know, but why is ESPN sending me an email to my ESPN and it goes into my junk mail?
Can I do a shameless little plug for ESPN Plus right now since you brought it up?
Yeah.
I opened up my phone the other day just to, you know, just scroll through it. With no purpose intended. Okay. I open up the ESPN app. And UCSB was playing a live basketball game against UT Arlington. And I'm like, well, yeah, this is I literally set up shop, watched the first half on my phone. It was awesome. And it was just one of those things. Without that, you don't get to do it. And you
go.
Can set
kissing,
all
kissing,
of the
you
settings.
Know what now.
I get all of my Gaucho news right there at the top. It's fantastic.
All Before we get taken off the air.
Biggest fan all of a sudden.
All right. So up next.
Go Luke Skywalker.
If two friends break up, you always choose a side. Alan, is this fact or cap?
No, I think it's cap. I don't think you have to choose a side. I think you got to be respectful towards both sides, unless, you know, you didn't like the other person. But if it's your friend, like if that's – you're a friend of one of them before it happens, right? So, you know, you should stick to your original pack. But unless somebody is just a complete, you know, a-hole or something along those lines, I'm not trying to – you know, I'm not trying to go out of my way and say, well, that person I'm never going to talk to again in my life.
I could tell you, first of all, it's a fact that every couple that I know, I can tell you which side I'm taking right now. It doesn't matter who does what to who. It doesn't matter. I'm on his side. I'm on her side. I'm on his side. I'm on her side. I know exactly which way I'm breaking these things. They could have the happiest relationship in the world, the best marriage that's ever been known to mankind. But if it goes sour, I can tell you right now whose side I'm on.
Do you tell them
every
prior?
Single one of these.
Do you tell them prior? Like, while things are going good, hey, just heads up. If this doesn't work out,
they
I'm
know.
Going with Ralph.
They know. Every single person in my life knows which team I'm on. There's no ambiguity in this whatsoever. I like them. I like them right up until you don't like them anymore, and then I'm with you in this whole thing. That's how that goes for me.
All right, last one. You are a very confident parallel Parker. Travis, is this fact or cap?
Let me just put it to you this way. It's fact. Give me any of your vehicles and enough space fit in. You can't give me a 10-foot car and a 9-foot space. But if you give me a 10-foot car and a 10-foot 2-inch space, I will get your car in on the very first try. It's one of those. I don't have a lot of skills in the world, but that happens to be one of them. I am a pull forward, pull in, whip around, back forth, done. See you later. Let's keep it
okay,
moving.
Now is this just based more? Have you always been like this, or is this also with just all the technology that came in?
No, this was
cameras
this
every
was
angle,
old school.
Sensors
like,
going out.
You could like the car that I drove in high school was a stick. It had no sensors. It has no back. You know, I can just manual
and you
transmission.
Still, and you still
automatic.
Drive that car?
Yeah, I drive it to work every day. It's smoking the whole way.
It's a Pontiac.
I can I don't know why, but I'm very, very good at that. I can absolutely ace that.
I'm a good parallel parker, but the way Trav just described his skill set, listen, I might need to reverse a little bit real quick, couple of quick forwards.
You don't have to do it very much anymore, right? The parallel parking is pretty rare nowadays, at least where I live.
Yeah, not here in L.A. or like in L.A. Central, I guess.
Call
I have
me,
to parallel
Emily.
Park
I'll drive
time.
Up and I'll get your car. I'll just nail it on the first try.
I'm good.
Are you good
nice,
at it?
Must be nice, Trav. Must be nice. Trav living in he's living in a different neck of the woods
we
than
like
you and
to keep,
I, Emily.
We like
a
to
garage.
Make sure that... well, no, the garage is for the sombreros and the other Christmas lights and decorations that we use there. I have lived in, since I've been married,
yeah.
I have lived in 7 different places, okay? Mm-hmm. 7. Not one time have I parked a vehicle in the garage. That's how we roll in the Rogers household. And neither has my
wife.
I'm
okay with that.
But
right with
there's
that.
It is just filled with crap. That's just the way it goes.
All right, good stuff, Emily. Good stuff right there. T-Raj, I know we have this. Are we going back to Rams or are we going USC?
No, I want to give you this trend that the Rams have between weeks 1 through 8 and weeks 9 through the end of the season, because what's happening to the Rams right now is not new. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So, Emily, I'm going to give you a chance to try to sell me on this. I know that you're a Game of Thrones as
I like the music
as well.
Yeah, the music is a banger.
Okay.
Number
fantastic.
One.
Okay. Go ahead. You guys, the floor is yours. Sell me on why
okay.
I should watch it.
So I was the same way like you. I did not like fantasy stuff. Like the only fantasy stuff I ever watched was like Harry Potter.
It's based off a true story.
But I think it's the idea that So the funny thing, way I watched Game of Thrones, I started watching it in the 7th season because my friends were having like watch parties.
Okay, I need to stop you right there. How many is that? The last one?
2nd to last one.
Okay.
So I didn't want to get left out of parties, so I was like, I'm just going to watch these parties even though I know nothing that's going on. So I didn't like it at first. I would make fun of it after the show was over. I'm like, oh, this is so silly. You guys are like so attached to this. There was one episode that got me hooked. And it was this episode where it was the first time these two kind of armies battled each other. Once you watch that episode, I feel like it's going to be hard for you not to want to watch the rest of Game of Thrones.
That's a good pitch.
Okay.
That's a good pitch because it wasn't too over the top. It wasn't, oh, you're missing this and it's an allegory for that. It's like that was pretty good. That's fine. I'm still not going to watch it, but that was pretty good. Taylor, do you watch Game of Thrones or did you?
Yeah, I've seen it.
That's an interesting answer.
This guy likes gasoline, he's kind of seen it.
You've seen it as in you watched it, or you stumbled across it one night on HBO and didn't turn the channel?
Watched a couple seasons and
not your thing.
Yeah, got on it
because you
am not into fantasy.
Okay, yeah. See, this
I'm
is the thing.
Trap.
This is that's just not my lane. I don't want to watch that. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just all of that stuff is not my deal. Slade, did she sell you on it?
It was a good pitch.
I thought
she came prepared. I thought her presentation was good. I thought her punch, you know, what she kind of built everything up to this one specific episode that got her. I thought that was good. That kind of got me a little interested. Well, should I watch that one episode and see if that one episode
yes.
is going to get me?
Did you go back and watch the entire series after that?
Oh, yeah. So then I watched that season with my friends, and then I went back and rewatched everything, and now I've watched it probably twice through.
And seven seasons, twice. Okay, so
It's definitely worth it. They're not like full 24 episode seasons like, you know, some cable shows are, but it is, I mean, for me, it's worth it.
Al, are you adding it to your watch list when you go home tonight?
I'm going to need a little bit more. Like, you know how you were saying you were selling a timeshare yesterday, and you said that when they say, hey, by 3 o'clock, these things are sold out. I'm still waiting for something like that from Emma. She might be able to rope me in if she says, hey, look, maybe this comes off streaming. You never know. It could be taken away and you never get another opportunity, then I might give it a shot.
No, this is in the timeshare analogy. It's one of those, look, I'm not signing up today, but if you want to send me some more literature, go ahead. Here's my address. You can send it to me, but I'm not ready to scratch the check yet. We're not there.
That's not good. You can't let them out the door. You just can't let them out the door.
Oh, Cindy, I don't know why it reminds me of this. This was, 23 or 4 years ago. Susan and I were buying a car, right? And so I guess it was 21 years ago because she was extremely pregnant with our first kid, like any day now pregnant, right? And we're shopping for this car, and she says to me, she said, listen, I need to go home. I need to eat. I'm very, very hungry. I said, okay, cool. So we were going to buy.
And you told her, don't be selfish. We're getting a car.
And I said to the guy we're talking, I said, I'm going to buy this car. I'm just not going to buy it tonight. I'll come back. I can't come back tomorrow. But next weekend, I'll be back to buy it. And I swear to God, I was being sincere.
I know, I really was. Yep.
And the look of defeat on this guy's face. And I said to him, I said, she's hungry and she doesn't feel great. She, you know, you can see how pregnant she is. She's going to have this baby any day. If she says she needs to go, we need to go. Yeah, I don't know what you don't
understand.
Do
you know where he was coming from?
Yeah, he'd heard that a million times before.
100 times somebody has said, like, no, hey, you just stay right here. We're going to be right back here Saturday at 6.
We close at 5. Hand to God. It was one of these, what does she want? We'll get her whatever she wants. We'll have it delivered right. Like, brother, you don't understand. She's 9 months pregnant.
We're making
pregnant.
A grilled cheese sandwich in the microwave right now. You stay right here.
I could have had him drive to Mastro's to get me a steak if I would have asked for it, but I figured, you know, getting home and making sure that she was okay was a higher priority. ESPN.
Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Emily, you tell me which episode that is. I'll watch that one episode. I've seen nothing of Game of Thrones, but I'm also the guy that went back after and watched all of Sopranos, all of The Wire, all of, you know, like I did go back after the dust settled and everybody was out of it. That's when
I'll send it to you.
Okay,
don't send it to me. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support vets with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping vets in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Okay. You ready for some numbers, Al? You know what we're talking about, the Rams, I mean, what happened? Through the first 8 weeks of the season, they were firing all cylinders. They were scoring a bunch of touchdowns. The Matthew Stafford was an MVP favorite.
They were bad
teams. They were, but they also beat Tampa.
They beat Tampa. They,
you know, Indianapolis, as it turns out, is not a bad team. They got off to a slow start, but they're not a bad team.
Yep.
This is nothing new. This has happened before. I was reading something on The Ringer today, and they had a What's Wrong with the Rams Offense.
That's a good article.
A listener sent it to us, and it was really good. In Sean McVay's career as an NFL head coach, in weeks 1 through 8, his offense is the second best offense in the NFL. Pretty damn good. Okay. In weeks 9 through 17, 19th. Okay, that's not just this year. That wasn't just last year. That wasn't just the year before. This is a trend that, and if you read this and going through it, and I'm not a football coach, but I've covered every single one of these games that he's coached. I've been doing the Rams pre-half, post, first quarter, third quarter hits since they came back. This really is, you kind of go back, and it doesn't mean that they can't be successful because we've seen them be successful in the playoffs. We've seen them go to the Super Bowl, but there is this lull in the second half. And it seems to be that they get predictable, that they don't look. And you hear Sean McVay say, oh, you know, we need to look inward. We need to look at ourselves first, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the fact of the matter is they're running a lot of the same stuff in the second half that they've run in the first half. And teams are just adjusting to it, and they're able to stop it much more effectively.
What do you think, out of everything you just said, is the only thing that I'm taking away? What do you think? Everything that you said.
I forgot what I said. What did I say?
You said how long have you been doing the Rams broadcast?
6 years.
Okay. And what comes with the Rams broadcast?
You Kurt just
said
Morrison?
You laid it out. You said the pregame show,
yeah,
halftime,
post
game show,
first quarter, third quarter.
You are hurting the pregame the half and the post by throwing the first and the third in the mix.
I don't, well, just because you don't care about yours doesn't mean I don't care about mine.
They cannot be in the same category
sure.
as pre, half, and post. Can't continue to do this.
So somebody told me very on in my radio career, you never know who's listening. You never know what the thing that they're going to hear is going to be the thing to go, you know what, that guy really knows what he's doing. That's why I take a great deal of pride in my end of the first quarter hit, at my end of the third quarter hit, to make sure that whoever might be listening says, you know what, that guy right there.
How long is your pregame show?
2 hours.
2 hours. How long is your first quarter hit?
1 minute.
Enough said. Let's move on.
No.
Minute of gold.
That's right. Thank you, Emily. See, Emily appreciates the work that goes into it. But goofing around aside, honestly, this is a trend. Mm-hmm. I think there's some information there. Because what have you heard me say for the last 3 weeks? Let's throw a second pitch. They're hitting the first pitch. They see what's coming. This I always go back to my baseball roots, that if I'm throwing fastballs through the first five innings and I'm getting everybody out, guess what I'm going to throw more of? Fastballs. If all of a sudden in the sixth inning I'm getting tagged around the ballpark, I got to throw a changeup. I got to throw a curveball. I have to throw something different. I can't keep throwing fastballs, and that's what this feels like. It's the same plays to the same parts of the field, same down and distance, and it feels like this is a movie I've seen before.
If I'm going to protect Sean McVay for a quick second, six turnovers from Stafford in three games. Digging a hole of down 14 or down two scores before, like you said before you even go grab a hot dog or a beer or whatever the case is, then you become incredibly predictable. Then everybody knows that you have to come back and it's a lot more shotgun formations. You know that they're going to be throwing the ball. Your chances of now committing another turnover is much more likely because you have to be a little bit more – you got to take more risks just to come back in some of these games. I would say that it would help that you just – don't spot 14 points or whatever the case is before you know it. And you've played three good teams in a row. And it's not like if you can get by the Giants or you can get by, you know, this weekend against Jacksonville, you can make certain mistakes against teams that you know aren't that good. You can't do it against these squads. So I'm not trying to defend Sean McVay because I'm with you that it doesn't seem like he has a second pitch. It's like, okay, well, the fastball's not working. What if I throw another fastball? It's like, okay, well,
never expect
that's
it.
Probably not a good idea. But they'll never expect it. That's awesome. But I think, Trav, I think with that in mind, it's, you know, they've in the NFL, it's pretty simple. If you can't establish somewhat of a running game and you always learn the turnover battle or you lose the turnover battle, you're not going to win many games, and that's kind of a good indicator over these last few weeks.
All right, so the Dodgers get a deal done with Chris Taylor right before the lockout started last night, and that's an important piece of what they've got coming up for the 2022 season. However, I think there's an even bigger piece that they need to address as well. That's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.